Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Friday edition of The Drive. An overcast, little drizzly kind and cool Friday. Boy, the weather, we talked about it a little yesterday, definitely cooler for the weekend. And this weather has affected a lot of things. We talked yesterday about so many high school events that have been moved around now. Even though it's not here, the weather in College Station has affected the Auburn-Texas A&M baseball series. Tonight's game has been rained out, and there will be a doubleheader starting at 1 o'clock tomorrow between Auburn and Texas A&M. Second game will be either at 5 o'clock or 45 minutes after the conclusion of game one. So that is now the schedule for the weekend. Is a doubleheader tomorrow and a single game on Sunday.
What's the weather tomorrow in College Station? Does it seem like it would be conducive to trying to get 18
better,
innings of baseball?
Better than today. Apparently it is pouring.
Okay.
In Texas, in College Station,
I think that was the belief, right? Is that, yep, that today was going to be a tough day to get baseball in? But I think by the time noonish or so tomorrow, mm-hmm, maybe it's blown through town and they can try to get some baseball in.
Yeah, and we talked about this the other day. This is not optimal for Auburn because they play Thursday through Saturday next weekend. So now, whoever is expected to be the Thursday starter is either going to go on short rest or you use somebody who didn't start this weekend. So that's going to be a difference for Auburn. So it's tough to expect this, but what you'd hope maybe now is that you don't need Jackson Sanders this weekend and you could use him next Thursday, because everybody else has had at least 6 days rest before they started all season long. And now you'd have somebody that would have 4 days rest before, if you go with one of your starters tomorrow, they'd have 4 days rest before their start on Thursday.
Yeah, it's a quick turnaround. I do wonder if it's a quick enough turnaround that it would impact strategy for Butch. I mean, to have to
I think it would.
Yeah,
I think it would. He doesn't like he doesn't like to throw anybody with less than 5 days rest.
So you think the Saturday starters are probably off limits to start Thursday?
Well, unless, and this isn't optimal either, unless they don't go very long.
I
mean, if you get somebody that gets out there and gets rocked and only goes a couple of innings, then they could probably come back and go Thursday. So that's not what you want either. Yeah.
So it'll be, I mean, I think that that's something to look for when the series is over.
Right.
I wonder how much knowing there's a Thursday game impacts his strategy at all this weekend, if at all, if it changes anything as far as what he would do.
That's a good point. Like, I mean, it could.
I mean,
very well could. But
would,
I mean,
he, would
you,
he be?
You want to do everything you can to try to at least get a win and do everything you can to try to win the series this weekend, though you can't be worrying about next week while
exactly.
You're playing a top 10 team.
I mean, the move you could make is designate a pitcher as off limits because he's Thursday's starter,
mm-hmm,
right? Like you could say, okay, well, maybe it's Jackson. Like maybe you could say, all right, well, somebody's not pitching this weekend because he's starting the Thursday game next weekend. And you could, I mean, if you wanted to let it impact your strategy,
yeah,
like you could say, all right, well, here's our starter Thursday. And he's not
pitching this weekend.
He's not available this weekend for us. And if they were to do that with somebody.
Unless you got into a situation where maybe you're in late innings or extra innings or something like that, you just have to do it. But the plan would be not to use your Thursday starter. I wonder.
Or he could go for one inning on Saturday.
That's right.
Maybe he's available.
Mm-hmm.
He's available for an inning on Saturday.
Which
and that's
would be
it.
Sort of like a bullpen.
Yeah. And that's mm-hmm, other than that, it's off limits. Jackson would be the guy. If you were going to designate somebody for that, I think.
I would think so.
Unless you swapped, what, Alvarez?
Like, yeah, I mean, he struggled his last couple of times out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you might give him extra time or just have him for an inning and bring him back Thursday. I mean, Either way, it's going to be tough because you're on the road each of the, you know, this weekend and next weekend in Starkville.
And A&M can swing the bats, right?
Yes,
I mean,
they can.
So, I mean, this is going to be a test for Auburn's pitching. I mean, this is one of those series where, like, this is a team just like Texas. Like, this is a team as good as a team you will see in Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a team as good as a team you will see in super regional play to get to Omaha. Like, that's the quality of this A&M team. And if you can hang, if you can beat them in their building, it says a lot about the kind of baseball you're playing right now.
Yeah, so doubleheader tomorrow, and that'll be over on Wings 94.3. So the airtime will be 12:45 and first pitch, weather permitting, will be at 1 o'clock. It's the Friday show. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Drew's back, and he says he's not contagious. But he said he got what his niece had. He was, I think you went down to your niece's birthday this past weekend, and has been under the weather. Get back now, just as the weather changes, Drew. I don't know that that's really conducive. So hopefully you're okay, and we're all right, and make it through the weekend. We'd love for you to join us if you would like. Here on the Friday Drive.
Yeah, Drew's got a particularly bad case of I worked Monday-itis this week, and now, yeah.
Yeah, but that
great,
usually,
great that he's, a, great that that he's able to recover.
That usually lasts until the next Monday.
Yeah, it's good that he's able to shake it off.
So he's bounced back quicker this time.
Yeah. Drew's pitching on short rest today, and
he's only going with 3 days rest. We're talking about, you know, liking to have things on a routine.
Yeah.
That's what Drew is. Drew's just following Butch Thompson's routine.
It's good to
if you go on Monday, then you're good to go the following Monday.
It's good to have our Friday starter back for the, you know, in the booth today. And I've got some news here, Bill. We will be talking with Justin Lee from the Auburn Torch about some different things going on in the world of Auburn sports, including tennis regional, women's tennis. It'll be Auburn against the U tomorrow in the round of 32 at the Yarborough. For the chance to advance to the Sweet 16 in women's tennis,
which if Auburn wins would be here again,
and that's I think they want to be able to play that outside, scheduled for I think 1 o'clock tomorrow. If they have to move it indoors, that's what they had to do today. I think Auburn eliminated Bryant in the round of 64. So we will we'll give Justin Lee a call and talk about that. Justin also covering gymnastics, and he'll be able to tell us a little bit more about Auburn's new gymnastics coach, Ryan Roberts. So it'll we'll talk with Justin Lee from the Torch about that around 4:30, and we're going to check in with the infield, right?
Yeah, Don Dunn going to check in with us at 5 o'clock. He's up in Louisville for the Kentucky Derby tomorrow, and we'll get his thoughts on that. Get him to handicap the field for us, and I'm sure a little bit more when we talk to him around 5 o'clock. But until then, again, until 4:30, phone lines are wide open. Love for you to join in 334-321-1390 as we're just underway here on the Friday edition of the draw. I almost said Monday because I looked over and saw Drew.
Have you seen the draw for the Kentucky Derby, Bill?
No, I have not.
Okay, let me see if I can find you any really really great names on the horses. Okay. In post one, 4-1 odds, Renegade.
Oh, that's a good name.
That's a Renegade. Okay. How about post four, 30-1 odds, Litmus Test. The Litmus Test.
All right, gonna see if it passes.
I believe scratched
30-1.
Scratched from the five post, 30-1 would have been hard to root against. Right to Party. Right to Party.
You had to scratch Right to Party?
I mean,
oh man, that's
I'm sure
tough.
They fought for it. I'm sure they fought for.
You got to fight for its right.
Yeah, you had to fight for Right to Party, but unfortunately, Right to Party couldn't make it. Commandment is in the sixth post at 6-1
which
odds.
Which commandment?
Just commandment. I guess six.
Just sixth commandment.
The sixth commandment.
Okay.
I don't remember which one.
I'm trying to. It's yeah.
You've got a. Dannon Bourbon is at 20-1.
Okay,
so
spell that. Is that Dannon?
Dannon.
Dannon. Okay.
Bourbon.
Like yogurt.
There's two N's in the yogurt, right?
Oh, okay. I guess there is.
It's like Cannon.
But well, that would be cool if you made yogurt and bourbon. That'd probably make a heck of a float.
Okay, all right. Kentucky would be the place that would want bourbon-flavored yogurt. So happy, 15-1. The Puma, 10-1.
The Puma?
Now it is, in fact, a horse. It's not. They're not.
I would say. Yeah. I don't know.
It would be the favorite.
About over a mile.
The Puma.
But over a short distance, I would say the Puma's got a really good.
I bet the horses would run even faster if a Puma was
chasing.
If a Puma was in the race too, I feel like it would be. Wonder Dean is it 30-1?
Wonder Dean.
Okay. Incredibolt is
20-1. That's not a bad one at all.
Chief Wallaby.
Chief Wallaby doesn't sound like a fast horse.
Silent Tactic has been scratched.
Oh.
Emerging Market, is it 15-1? Pavlovian, 30-1.
Pavlovian horse.
Six Speed is a good name for a horse. Unfortunately, at 50-1, I think that it's at the...
Well, the thing is it has to shift gears.
The slowest of those six
speeds. It takes a while to get into six.
Unfortunately, it's in neutral.
Which is cruise. You know, it's...
Oh, okay. Here, okay. Further Ado. Is it 6-1 odds?
Well, it's
one
good
of the
thing
favorites.
It's not scratched. I'd hate to be without Further Ado. you can tell it's Friday.
Great White, 50-1. Also, I'm told a horse.
Yeah, well, but what color? What color is the horse?
I
bet it's not white.
It could. I don't know.
Have you ever seen a white thoroughbred?
In the Princess Bride, they ride white horses, right?
I'm saying like it. In the Derby or the Preakness or the Belmont, I don't ever recall that.
Interesting. Well, if it's not, in fact, a white horse, I'd be curious to know how they landed on the name Great White. Maybe as a tribute to Jaws or something. Probably. I don't know. Big fan of sharks. But there's your Derby preview. We know nothing about the actual horses involved. The best odds on the board might be Renegade. I think Renegade's 4-1 right now. So that would be... Renegade 4-1, Commandment 6-1, Further Ado is 6-1, Chief Wallaby is 8-1.
So Chief Wallaby is among the favorites. Okay.
The Puma is 10-1. So you've got those are your top. We'll ask Coach Dunn at 5 o'clock how he feels about the Derby and the top horses on the board.
Yeah, we will we'll do that. We'll have some fun here on this Friday as well.
Hard to bet against the Puma, right? At 10-1.
I guess.
Commandment's a great name for it.
It is.
Commandment sounds like...
That sounds like if it wasn't real, it would be a really cool name in a movie.
If you had to make up the name of a champion racehorse in a movie, Commandment would be a good...
Very strong one-word names.
Renegade, too.
Renegade
and Commandment seem like...
Renegade sounds like it might be a little... You know, might buck the rider occasionally. But
yes, Renegade was a wild horse like 9 months ago that they've just now taught to
don't have a saddle on him, just has to ride him bareback.
Yeah, no rider. Renegade does not have a jockey. As opposed to like Right to Party's a fun name for a horse.
A fun name, but I wonder how serious Right to Party is. That's probably why it was scratched.
It was out too late last night.
That's right, a little too late. It didn't make curfew last night. It was its Right to Party.
Took the bourbon tour.
That's right.
And now it was out with Don.
You never know.
Coach Don.
You never know. They're just up the street. All right, we'll get to our first break just underway. Again,
on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls. Again, we're going to check in with Justin Lee of the Auburn Torch in about 10 or 15 minutes. And then at 5 o'clock, we'll check in with Don Dunn, who's usually with us on Fridays. But he's up in Louisville, his hometown. And we'll find out. I mean, how many do you say? He has been to a lot of Kentucky Derbies in his time. I think he said he only missed one when he was coaching way out west. But we'll check in with him. But Justin will get us updated on Auburn women's tennis, which won today in their opening their opening match. As Dan mentioned, they eliminated Bryant, and they've got Miami tomorrow, and then have a chance to stay at home because they are the number one team in the country, number two national seed, and it's just been a tremendous, tremendous year two for Jordan Szabo and Auburn women's tennis.
Yeah, remarkable season, and they continue the journey with a win today. So we'll learn a little bit more about what they've done this year, how they've been able to be so successful, and what they what's on tap for Auburn women's tennis. We'll ask a little bit about the new gymnastics coach as well. So we'll talk a little
bit. Ryan Roberts.
Yeah, talk a little bit with Justin Lee about a coach. You know, I'd like to ask Justin about Arkansas's decision to get rid of tennis.
Oh, absolutely. I was thinking about that on the way in.
You know, I mean, he's someone who is covering Olympic sports extensively now, as you know, with the Auburn Torch, and I think he would be someone with mm-hmm. some insight into the appeal of these sports, what they provide for a university, and sort of the decision by Arkansas to abandon women's tennis, and we'll see if that's the end of SEC teams pulling the plug on various sports that they offer at the moment. You know, if anyone else decides to follow suit and shutter any other scholarship sport,
I find it hard to believe that there won't be some other schools that'll do that. I mean, I'm not crazy about that, but I think that may happen. And I think, as Ferg said yesterday, I mean, for some, I think it's an easy out. It's an easy way to go. Oh well, here's a way we can scrounge another couple of million dollars for these other sports if some schools are doing it. Now that Arkansas has sort of shown that a school at a Power Four conference like the SEC will do that.
Well, it feels kind of. I mean, I can understand the thinking, you know, if it's just about dollars and cents, right? Where it's like, all right, well, here's a program we could potentially get rid of without sacrificing revenue, mm-hmm. and we could reallocate the money from that program to other places. I wonder if it's, you know, if the appeal of these sports goes beyond how much revenue they generate. You know, if you got to dig deeper as to like what they offer a school, you know, as opposed to just, well, how much revenue did your track team generate last year? But it's about the prestige, and it's also, you know, it's I don't know, it's an interesting.
It is. I mean, it's
I'd love an athletic director.
At some schools, certain sports are probably more attractive, mm-hmm. Even though they don't produce a ton of revenue.
Yeah, I'd love some insight into sort of John Cohen's thinking too, beyond, you know, the sports that we talk about the most here, and sort of how he views the what he sees the Olympic sports and the quote unquote non revenue sports, what they bring, you know, what they offer to a university, which is a question that I'm going to have for Justin Lee as well, sort of, you know, in his viewpoint, like what a university, how a university benefits from offering sports like these. So we'll talk with Justin Lee about that in the next segment. I'm still not crazy about, and I talked about it with Ferg on the podcast a little bit last night after we got done here, and I really don't like the tournament expansion to 70
no,
to 76.
No, I don't either. Especially where, I mean, it's not there to prevent a team like Miami from last year not making the tournament. It's there to put more of the bigger conferences, the power conference, mid to lower level teams into the field.
Well, here's the other thing, though. It's like it feels so forced because it's not like we're watching.
Who was screaming for this? Who has been, have fans, has anyone in the media just been, oh, we really need to expand the field?
Are you watching, are you watching college basketball and watching Selection Sunday and saying, you know, there are six or eight or ten teams.
Oh, there's a dozen teams that just got shafted.
Not getting into
usually it's one or two.
Yeah, and the thought of the kind of teams that can make the tournament if you add eight more spots, like I feel like LSU might have gotten in this past year, Bill. Like, I mean, they were terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, forget about Auburn. Forget about LSU and Oklahoma.
No, Auburn's a lock.
Oh, no. LSU and Oklahoma. Auburn and Oklahoma were the first two out. Right? Like, they would have been assuredly in at least into the Dayton round. I don't. Mm-hmm. So it's not out of a need for. It's not like we need to create more opportunities here. It's there are probably too many spots as it is. It's not like this is a way to, because I'd be on board, Bill, if the NCAA said what we're going to do with these at-large spots is we're going to prioritize if you win your regular season, if you win your conference's regular season, and you don't win your conference tournament, and because it's a one-bid league or a two-bid league, you don't get in. We're gonna, you know, these spots are gonna be for those teams, the regular season conference champions that didn't win their conference tournaments, and
you know what that would lead to? That would lead to some people speculating that teams just sort of tank to get an extra conference team into the NCAA field.
But how about this, Bill? You think that's what the SEC and the Big Ten want? Is they want more small conference champions in these at-large spots?
Absolutely.
No, they want more Big Ten teams than SEC mm-hmm. teams, and that's what's going to happen. It's going to be more mediocre, near the bottom of the standings, SEC and ACC and Big Ten teams in the NCAA tournament. I know that gets you bigger names, right? Than you know, I'm sure that if like LSU is a bigger name than a random Sun Belt team that could make it as a conference champion mm-hmm. that didn't win the conference tournament. But, like, that, I don't know if that makes for a better product. I don't think it makes for a more interesting NCAA tournament. And the point Ferg made, which I hadn't even considered, is now that you've added eight more teams to the NCAA tournament, like, you've thinned out the herd in the NIT.
And the NCAA controls the NIT.
You've thinned out the NIT herd to where it's like you're not really going to see a team.
You're not going to see a Power Four team in the NIT at all.
A Power Four team that has the opportunity to finish the season with some momentum in the NIT and then build on that next year.
I mean, the best like Auburn is right teams, now. The best teams like from the SEC and the Big Ten would be teams that went like maybe 6-12. And maybe we're three or four games under 500 overall.
I mean, the number should be 64. It would be if Dayton has to happen, and you want to have four at large games or two at large games or whatever, and you want to go to 66 or 68. So there's a little appetizer on Tuesday night and Wednesday night before the tournaments get started. That's okay, I suppose. I don't like the 16 seed. Playing games, you know, I'd wish they'd get rid of that too. But the number going to 76, and it's not going to end at 76.
No.
Right? I mean, you're talking about, I mean, we're at a point now where, so there are going to be.
You're probably going to end up getting to, I mean, it would make more sense to, if you're going to go from 64, it should be, to get to 64, you'd go to 80, or you'd go to 88 or 96.
So at 76, there are going to be 12 games on Tuesday and Wednesday
mm-hmm.
to narrow the field
down to 64.
So you're going
to
have two days of, was that septuple headers? Right?
Yes.
You have six games
six
basically.
Six games a day for Tuesday, back, on Tuesday
back to
Wednesday.
Back to back, which I'm sure that's, I mean, and that's part of this too, is I'm sure that the Warner Brothers Discovery, you know, broadcast the tournament, True TV and TNT and TBS. I'm sure they're thinking, oh, well, you can start the NCAA tournament on Tuesday now mm-hmm. instead of Thursday because you're going to have those games going all day on Tuesday. It's not the same thing. The play-in games are not the NCAA tournament. It's not March Madness.
Look, brackets aren't going to – you're not going to worry about brackets till Thursday morning.
People aren't going to – it's not really going to have it. So I just – it's – it's just – it's – I mean, 24 of the 76 teams are going to play on Tuesday or Wednesday. Before the NCAA tournament gets started, there are going to be 12 games before. It's just, and you get the feeling it's not finished, right? That they're probably going to grow the tournament from there. So I'm. It's like a disaster movie where you're saying like you're going the wrong way, like the people in the Poseidon Adventure, Bill. Like
That's right. They're headed the wrong way. You got to turn. It's upside down. Yeah, you got to be going down toward the bottom.
You're just watching the. Yep. You're watching the sand. No, you're like no stop. Like and I just seeing the thing go to 76. Look, maybe I'm wrong, and you get awesome games on Tuesday and Wednesday, and that's proof that this was the right move, I guess. I just think that there's keeping a tournament berth as special as possible is something that should be protected. And instead it's like, well, how special is it going to be to make the tournament in the SEC or the ACC or the Big Ten?
If you don't make the tournament, then your coach is probably going to be in some trouble.
Yeah.
Before we get to our bottom of the hour break, we're going to check in with Justin Lee a little bit, but let's get to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. And Uncle Ollie is up first. Hey, Unc, sorry about that problem the other day.
Hey, it's all good. No worries. So you're going the wrong way with the classic line in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yes, absolutely right. Those aren't pillows, and you're going the wrong way.
That's right. You're going. How do they know where we're going? That was the response. Yeah, whatever. How do they know where we're going? So a couple of things. Number one, so I've heard Stephen Pearl, he was at the Regions this week and did an interview with Cole Kublik and McElroy.
Mm-hmm.
And so they asked him about the expansion. And it was so refreshing to hear his response. His response was, my fear is they're going to let teams like us into the tournament and cut out the mid-majors.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, and so they were like, well, you came out and were like, you know, you were trying to get your team in. And he said, well, in the locker room, I told them, look, this loss probably cost us getting into the tournament. But also, I felt like I have to fight for my team. So, you know, I wanted them to know I was going to fight for them to get in that tournament. But also knew deep inside, we didn't deserve to be in that tournament. And it was refreshing to hear him admit the truth that they lost too many SEC games to be in the tournament.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, most coaches still wouldn't admit that, say that our strength of schedule would keep going on with that. So that is refreshing.
And he did advocate for his team while it was in jeopardy. But no, I mean, I think, you know, with the benefit of hindsight and with some time to reflect, yeah, I think that's a refreshing thing to hear from Stephen.
Yeah, and he admitted. He said, you know, our metrics were good, everything was great, but we lost too many games that we should have won. But on the other hand, I have to fight for my guys. So, yes, I'm out there fighting for us to get in the tournament because that's what I do for my guys. So it was just interesting him saying, you know, I hope that this expansion doesn't cut out teams that really deserve to be there. Mainly, you know, mid-majors. You know, teams that have won 28 games and lost four.
Mm-hmm.
But because they play in the Mountain West, they're going to get left out.
Well, I don't think it's going to cut those out, but I don't think it's going to be any benefit for those conferences either. I think they're still going to be one bid leagues for the most part.
Probably so, but hopefully what he said is correct because, you know, that'll stop this argument of like Miami of Ohio, should they be in or should they be not?
Right.
Because they lost one game all year.
Yeah, I have a terrible feeling that this. I mean, and I good stuff, Uncle Ollie. I appreciate the phone call, but it's like I do not think this expansion I don't think this expansion was motivated by a desire to have more.
No, not at all.
Small conference inclusion in the NCAA tournament. This is a way to get more SEC and Big Ten teams in that are currently missing the NCAA tournament. And it just, when you look at the caliber of teams that missed the tournament right now, I don't really think that, like, it's the only reason you would want to include these teams is so you can create more content, so you can have more tournament games, so you can have more play-in games on Tuesday and Wednesday. It's not because, and it's a shame. It's not because there are all these great teams missing the tournament that you'd love to see, especially from the SEC and the ACC and the Big Ten. Oh, that, you know, these teams have their opportunity. Oklahoma and Auburn, you know, had a chance to play their way in, and they didn't do it. And it's it feels like you're watering down the product a little bit by extending eight more invitations to this thing when you already feel. I mean, teams like, I don't know, Texas won some games in the tournament, but like, you watch Texas and NC State, right? Teams that were actually in, teams that made it to Dayton this past year. It's like you didn't come away thinking the bubble was full of genuine contenders. So, yep. great stuff, Uncle Ollie.
All right, we will get to our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, we're going to talk some of the smaller sports, and Justin Lee from the Auburn Torch will join us. So stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio, and Drew at the controls. Oh, okay. We were wondering. We'll get some expert analysis in hour number two from Coach Don Dunn about the field there at the Kentucky Derby. But I was wondering about Great White, and it is a gray. It is a gray thoroughbred. That's cool looking, and that's a very interesting looking horse.
It's been I was just seeing that it's been a long time. I guess horses that are shades of brown have dominated the Derby.
Yeah, pretty much so. It's over, brown or black.
Yeah, so it's we'll see if Great White can buck. How about Bill, buck that trend, huh?
No, that's what that's what I would think Renegade would try to do. All right.
Okay, well, we're connected with, yeah, save us from this. We've got Justin Lee joining us from the Auburn Torch. Justin does a fantastic job covering different Olympic sports. Still does great work with basketball and covering the marquee stuff as well. But keeping a very close eye on some stuff that we don't talk about enough here on The Drive, including women's tennis having a huge weekend, advancing to the round of 32. So we welcome in our good buddy Justin Lee from the Auburn Torch. How you doing, pal?
Dan, how's it going, man? Love the plane, trains, and automobile segment or reference last segment. It had me giggling. What does he say? Why do I feel like I'm at summer camp? So there's another one.
Uncle Ollie's a treasure, and we appreciate anytime he can provide that sort of thing. All right, so let's start with women's tennis, because it's a huge weekend for the regular season.
That's the highest ranked team that is still, you know, well, that's the highest ranked team Auburn's had this year, right? Well, I guess equestrian was number one, but I mean, women's tennis,
men's golf too, men's golf and women's tennis,
So you've got two top ranked teams that are in the postseason, and a good start for Jordan Szabo's squad today.
Oh, yeah, totally. Got good quick work of Bryant. They were outside and then had to go inside because of the rain, and they'll play Miami tomorrow, so Miami, Florida Hurricanes. As long as they win that, they'll also be hosting Super Regionals next weekend. That's the 15 overall seed. You said they're number one in the ITUA rankings, but they're actually number two overall seed in the tournament. The same as the men's basketball tournament. Except it's 64 teams and not expanding, they cross at Super Regionals and kind of the Sweet 16 with 15 seeded Duke. We'll see how they do today. It's funny, Jordan rested his number two player, Katya Kurytanova. They just scratched her from the lineup. She did play doubles, and I imagine just rested for singles, and he does that, man. He's maybe one of the only coaches in the SEC who, in the middle of a conference game, would just rest folks and let bench players go. And it's kind of like he just lets it go. So it's pretty funny to see. But let more bench players got in and got you know, warmed up and tuned up for the tournament today.
Well, I'd be surprised if the deeper you go, if you'd see it as much. But look, when you know you have an advantage, and he's got players, you know, let him get out there and get that opportunity to get this kind of experience while you're still winning.
Yeah, and younger ones too. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of two of the returners. I've talked about it on the Auburn Torch. I do a podcast in the mornings, just a quick like 10-minute thing. Just to kind of set up the day and what Olympic sports at Auburn you can watch that day. And, yeah, there, one of the, it's kind of between court six, it can either be Ava Esposito, who's a junior, who'll be back next year. And she's also partnered with DJ Bennett in doubles, and they're the number two team in the country in doubles. But then her, and then also at the SEC tournament final, Ava Ionescu, a new freshman and a January enrollee. So like a freshman. What it all came down to her game, or you know, 3-3, third set tiebreaker. Everyone's watching her, and she won the SEC tournament final. You know, just with it all coming down to her, and that was off the bench. So now you have your number six and your bench player, and you know, depending on, you know, Ava's a little bit taller and has a bigger serve, so maybe if it's hot or indoors. And the ball speed is faster, they go to her. And then maybe if it's like today, colder, rainy day, playing more on the baseline, they go to Ionescu. Anyway, a lot of strategy. And yeah, we talk about that at the Torch. And we'll see what they do and who he kind of plays in the next few rounds.
What can you tell us about DJ Bennett? Not just the you know, the postseason that she's having so far, but her Auburn career. I mean, she's put together a remarkable run in women's tennis.
Well, I can tell you one thing, Dan. We got a story about it on AuburnTorch.com. Mm-hmm. If you think you thought that's a plug, right? But yeah, Jordan said she's, to him, she is Auburn women's tennis. And I would agree with that. I think she's, especially, I think the SEC tournament championship kind of solidified that. I do think she's the face of the program, and she is, if you can come out tomorrow or if they make it to next weekend to see her, I think you'd really enjoy it because she's a, you know, she's grew up in Florida. She actually grew up a Florida Gator fan, didn't get that offer and you know, stayed in the SEC and went to Auburn. She stuck with Auburn through the coaching change, went, you know, and her career has gone, you know, she's had knee surgeries. She's climbed all the way to number one in the individual rankings and then fallen off of it because she was dealing with the pressure. But like I said, now she's back up to number 16 in the individual in the singles rankings, but top two in the doubles rankings with Esposito, and that's her mentality is totally different. You know, she's glad she experienced that and those struggles, and now, you know, she doesn't feel that pressure anymore. Yeah, she's really someone to watch, and I think Auburn fans, you know, if you watch her, you'll love her.
Talking with Justin Lee from the Auburn Torch here on the Friday edition of the Drive. You want to pivot to gymnastics a little bit?
I was going to ask how the pizza giveaway go.
Hopefully it didn't get soggy in
I was worried about that.
I hope that was the first thing moved indoors, right?
Absolutely.
It was the pizza, right? They were giving to people who came out and hopefully, yeah, like you said, hopefully the weather cooperates and folks can come out tomorrow for Auburn Miami. At Yarborough.
What's the time tomorrow?
1:00. Same time today. 1:00 tomorrow. Yarborough. Free admission. Admission's free.
All right. So let's pivot to gymnastics a little bit because there's been a shakeup in Auburn women's gymnastics, and the program has a new look, to say the least.
Sure. Yeah. Ryan Roberts is in. He's had his introductory press conference, and he has finalized his staff. If anyone was following Auburn gymnastics recently, you'll remember Sophia Groth,
right?
Really a fan favorite who really captured a lot of Auburn fans' hearts. She is back as an assistant on the staff. I mean, that's kind of the headline news of the staff. That's pretty cool.
Oh, it really is. I was going to say she was just one of the most joyous people. I mean, she always just looks so happy and just excited to be out there and performing.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, and that one of the things they said, you know, even this past year, and, you know, Jeff said it and some of the gymnasts said it, was, you know, they figure a lot of other teams across the country were hurting with COVID seniors being gone. And Sophia was a fourth year. She wasn't a COVID. But But, you know, that this was that first year with everyone fifth year, everyone COVID gone, and they felt like they were missing some of that, like, leadership voices. And so whatever that voice would be, you know, she's her coming back, that might can help. So she's on the staff. You know, Ryan was looking for a recent student athlete that the girls, that the athletes would be able to talk to. Also on the staff is Asia Sims Fletcher, who was a former Alabama gymnast. Coach was actually head coach at Talladega when they tried to have a gymnastics program. It only lasted a year, and then she had to go to she went to Illinois where she was assistant coach the last couple years.
So was she at Alabama when Ryan was there?
I believe so. She wasn't an athlete then, but I think she was like volunteer assistant mm-hmm. while he was there. Yeah, so a little bit of working with Ryan there. And then the other one is Adam Duncan, who's pretty interesting because he's just like a data guy. But you know what? In gymnastics, there's a lot of it is numbers, and a lot of it is crunching numbers. And he was most recently like a financial guy with Capital One, which is like really data kind of guy. But he at the club level, he's a big club. All his experience is club gymnastics. But when Ryan was doing club in Texas, he worked with him. So him coming in, he's going to try to be the – I do think it's interesting that between all four of them, you know, Ryan knows what he is and he knows what he isn't. And, you know, he said right off the bat, like with Asia, he wants a female voice for his second in command. And then he wants a recent student athlete. And then, you know, Adam, you have to have a spotter who can, you know, catch the girls on bars or bouncing off the floor. Got that in him. And also maybe he's more of the data and – you know, Ryan's more of the technical on the apparatus experience. So I just think it's interesting how he kind of put it together, and they all have different strengths, and they all accentuate each other, which I do think that's interesting.
Well, I mean, the whole Ryan Roberts story is very interesting. I mean, his background is it's amazing.
Totally.
I mean, how diverse it is.
Right. Yeah. I told him, you know, because he was deployed, and I've written in an article, like, you know, he's kind of a walking contradiction, I guess. I mean, how many of his military buddies can he talk about gymnastics with, and how many of his gymnastics buddies can he talk about the military with, right? So he said in his first press conference, you know, we're not here to fit in. And I would say, you know, him, you know, up there with a silver suit and, you know, hiding his tattoos and stuff, I would say he doesn't fit in. That's not his thing. Fitting in is not his thing. And this staff, I think they can kind of run with that. They're certainly not the most experienced staff as far as like SEC years of experience. But that's part of the design, is to kind of shake things up instead of going with the flow or going with, known commodities.
Talking with Justin Lee from the Auburn Torch here on the Friday Drive. And Justin, I mean, you mentioned men's golf, but I mean, men's tennis is in the postseason. Men's and women's golf, I mean, it is a busy time for these Olympic sports.
Yep, the men's tennis are playing right now with Santa Clara. They're in Waco. Baylor is hosting their regional. They've won the doubles point, and they have first set wins on three courts, and wow. you know, you only need four to win. So mm-hmm. As long as they can take care of business in the second sets on those three courts, they'll advance. And then they'll play either Baylor or Tulsa. They play tonight in the next round. So, so the men are playing too. Same format, same stuff. I think they'd be on the road. I think they'd be hard-pressed to host in Super Regional. Some really big upsets would have to happen for that to happen. They're playing right now. They should be in action. If they keep going, they'll be in action on Saturday as well.
Justin, we got to head to a commercial break. We wanted to ask you about Arkansas's decision to drop the tennis program and sort of a larger conversation about how secure some of these programs are at Auburn and what you think about trend. We'll have you back on to talk about all that. Tell folks about what you're doing at the Torch.
Let's do it. Yeah. No, AuburnTorch.com. We're covering these kind of sports, the Olympic, you know, / non-revenue sports at Auburn. It just goes back to a gamble that I've got that, I think a lot of Auburn people really love Auburn, not just Auburn football. And, you go to Auburn Torch. We've got, you know, affordable rate. You can get it all for $4 a month. Also, we have a free daily, week daily podcast I do. A little more, just a kind of a easier vibe, just kind of a streamer vibe. Do it 10 minutes every morning. around about 10 minutes just to kind of catch you up on, you know, because this is a busy calendar with all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, here's where golf is playing. Here's where tennis is playing. Here's how you can follow it. We've got an email on the email list. It's got a list of the SEC Network streams and where to watch all this stuff. Anyway, just check it out. Check it out. Come see us, AuburnTorch.com.
Appreciate it, Justin, man. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you guys too. Appreciate it. And I'll be at tennis. If anybody comes out, we'll see you there.
Sounds good. All right, we need to get to our final break of hour number one. Right back here on the Friday Drive. Well, that music means we're halfway done, out of time here in hour number one. Our thanks to Justin Lee from the Auburn Torch joining us in the last half hour. Coming up at the top of hour number two, we're going to check in with Don Dunn, who's up in his hometown of Louisville. Going to be checking out the Kentucky Derby. We'll talk with him about the Derby and more when we come back here in hour number two of the Friday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Friday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Start of a, looks to be a cool weekend here on the plains. I mean, doesn't feel like May, does it? I mean, we had a gorgeous April, and I'm not saying that May is not going to be, but we're starting off a lot cooler than is the norm for the month of May, with highs in the 60s today. It looks like it's going to be that way through the weekend, staying in the 60s, a chance of rain, and, you know, hopefully if you had some outdoor activities planned, they don't mess them up too much.
And that's also, we've got graduation festivities going on.
Right.
I believe those are all inside Neville, right? They've moved all that indoors. Mm-hmm. But still, you know, you don't want, well, there'll be a lot of picture taking and a lot of celebrating, a lot of revelry this weekend. Hopefully weather doesn't impact any of that too much, and everyone can everything can go off without a hitch. Congratulations to that new group of Auburn University graduates.
Yes, you could tell that finals are done and tons of cars headed south. I mean, headed out toward the interstate. I mean, I don't know that they're all headed south, but they were headed south, like South College. As I came back in, was out and about a little today, the traffic that was headed toward the interstate was just massive.
If you were in charge of the music on Wings 94.3, you'd want to work in a little Alice Cooper today.
School's out for summer, maybe.
But it is kind of the unofficial start of summer, with finals ending, graduation this weekend, and we're about 12, 14 weeks away, maybe a little more than that before the students are all back, and we are, and we're getting ready for the start of football season.
That is right, and we're much closer than that to media days down in Tampa, which will be interesting coming up in a couple of months. But another thing that signals, you know, spring is definitely here and summer's getting closer is the Kentucky Derby, and that's where our good friend and normal Friday cohort here in the on the drive. Coach Don Dunn is back home up in Louisville, and we asked him to give us sort of a scouting report, handicap, if you will, the Derby, and let us know how things are going this weekend. Don, man, how's everything up in Louisville?
A little cool. I had to get out the jackets this morning, but it's going great. We got up here Tuesday and went to the track on Wednesday. Our good friends here, Tom and Karen, who I've known since high school. Tom since seventh grade.
Wow.
They set us up. We have an all-inclusive area above the paddock, and it was a great day. And we've been betting the horses all day today and have a little derby party tonight. And Karen's famous hot browns, we'll have some of them. And when they promised you and Dan when they come down in January, they'll make you some.
Oh, wow. I mean, I'm looking forward to that.
Delicacy.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
But we're having a big time in the Oaks tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, is the latest it's ever been. It's going off at 8:40 mm-hmm. Eastern time.
Why?
Who knows? Everybody's upset about it. The locals. I'm sure it's TV.
Yeah, they moved. NBC. It's on NBC.
Okay.
Tonight's.
It used to be Friday afternoon.
Yeah, Friday afternoon's about 5:30,
yeah.
6 at the latest.
Mm-hmm.
The restaurants are mad. All the venues are mad. The people having derby parties are mad. I mean, you won't get out of there till 10 or 11 o'clock.
Mm.
So, and then the diehards go right back the next day. So, but it's fun time, and we're really having we always love coming back and seeing all of our buddies.
Coach, we were looking at the odds. We were looking at the draw for this thing. A couple of horses. Again, I know nothing about any of these horses except
their
names. Coach, what I'll tell you is
we have a couple of really good names.
I think Renegade and Commandment are both.
I think that's a classic.
Okay, Renegade. I've got three that I like. I like Chief Wallaby.
Chief Wallaby.
Dan, this one's for you. Dan on Bourbon.
Oh yeah, as well. Dan on Bourbon is what I'm going to be in about 2 hours or so.
Yeah. And like Bill said, Renegade. But who knows? There's so many horses in this race. I think there's 20. A couple of them have been scratched.
Yeah, we saw Right to Party got scratched. That was a disappointment.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And then there's so many things that affect it, like the weather, the track, the conditions, the jockeys, post position. Where are they on, coming out of the gate? A lot of things, but just a fun time, just to get a bet in and pull for. And I usually bet by the jockeys.
Oh yeah, now you mentioned that it was cool. What's the what's the weather? Is there any precipitation?
Well, there's none right now. The sun's shining.
That's
good. Beautiful. It's probably high 50s. Going about 8 o'clock tonight, it could be in the 40s or lower. Tonight's low here is like 39.
Wow.
And then tomorrow there's a small chance of rain, and it's been a little windy. So who knows?
Coach,
but it is different being so late in the evening.
Yeah,
the Oaks, which is for the fillies, the lady horses.
Mm-hmm.
We were looking. Great White's a cool looking horse. I'm doing a little research.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Name. I like that name too.
Sounds like he's a synthetic specialist and maybe running on the maybe running on the grass or the Derby. Might be a little bit much for him.
Yeah, the Derby will be, the dirt. And,
yeah.
But synthetic is different. Now, I'd have to ask my buddy Tom and Karen about that. I know it's kind of a mixture. And
he sounds like a hothouse flower. Sounds like something of an indoor cat. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Then the Oaks today, all my buddies I asked right before I came on. My wife, Donna, likes Lovely Gray.
Okay.
And another friend of some of them like Prom Queen. And then I picked Percy's Bar. I don't know why. It just sounds like a good place to hang out.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. They didn't have a Sky Bar, Dan, so I couldn't go with our good sponsors.
Well, you know what? We'll adopt Percy for our purposes.
Hey, your ribs look great, Dan. I wanted to tell you real quick.
Coach.
He raved. He just,
coach,
I mean, he went on and on and on about him.
Unbelievable, Coach.
Well, I'm glad I could help you guys.
Oh, you're the best. You're the best.
Now Bill's
waiting his turn.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I'll take care of it.
Of course, I'm not generally up at that time, so.
I'll deliver.
You'd be coming home, maybe.
That's right.
I'll drop him off. I'll drop him off at Bill's place as I make my rounds. Well, Coach, hey, enjoy. It's something I want to check off my list.
Oh, I'd love to.
You got to get it on your bucket list. Like I said, I've been fortunate to go to the Preakness and the Derby, and we've talked about all of us, Tom and Karen and Don and our buddies have talked about maybe making the the third leg of at the Belmont,
sure.
And we want to go to Saratoga sometime in late August. And got a good buddy here. One of my buddies from Oregon State came in.
Oh, very cool.
He just got a job there with my other buddies from Western, Dan. So we're happy to see everybody.
Yeah, I was mentioning a while ago when we were talking with somebody a while ago. How many of these did you say you've been to? And you
I
said you only missed.
Yeah. Well, I think I started building like 69 in high school.
Wow.
And I only missed maybe three when I was out on the West Coast coaching.
Hmm.
So, long time, buddy.
Yeah, well, it's great that you're able to get back
awesome.
Up there and you know, get back with some good friends and have a great time. So, yeah, we're yeah. jealous, but yeah, we hope you have a great weekend and a great trip back, and we look forward to seeing you back in here next week.
Well, I can't wait, and you guys, I appreciate you and what y'all do. So, I'll see you next week.
All right, take care, Don.
Happy Derby.
Safe travels, Coach. Yeah. See you soon.
Indeed. Coach Don Dunn joining us here right at the top. We'll open up the phone lines. We're wide open. Anything that you want to talk about here on this Friday edition of The Drive?
Well, what do you – we talked a little baseball at the beginning of the show. Auburn A&M has been postponed. Tonight's game will not happen. Doubleheader tomorrow, and they're going to play a third game
on
Sunday.
Yeah, again, these are nine-inning games. It's not like they're going to play, you know, shortened – games or anything. That's not the plan. So they'll start tomorrow at 1 o'clock, play a doubleheader. Second game will either be 45 minutes after the first game or 5 o'clock.
And we'll see what that does for the atmosphere at A&M tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the place would have been rocking tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe a doubleheader throws that off a little bit. You were talking about the pitching considerations now. I mean, Auburn's got is next week on the road too?
Yes, Mississippi State. Ooh. Thursday through Saturday. So I mean that's why there are definite concerns about who's going to be rested enough to go on Thursday. It could be a situation where I mean if you need everybody, well look, the most important thing right now is this weekend. And if you need everybody, then everybody that's making the trip has got to be available, and you'll use them all if necessary to try to win as many as you can this weekend. And you know, it could be a situation where you start off next week TBA. You may have a bullpen game on Thursday before you go back to your starters, because even the Friday starter is going to have one less day of normal rest than he would usually, since the first game this weekend is Saturday. So that will make it really interesting, and we will we'll see. I haven't seen any notes about changes, so I'm assuming it'll be Andres Alvarez and Jake Marciano getting the starts for Auburn tomorrow in that doubleheader.
I would think so, just because, I mean, it's not really a reason to move Petro up, right?
No. You definitely want to keep him on Sunday.
You'd want to keep him on Sunday, and I think now with, I mean, we were talking about a little bit earlier, but I would wonder if you would consider either heavily limiting Jackson Sanders or not using him at all tomorrow, with the knowledge that now you need a Thursday starter.
Yeah,
like you need a Thursday starter
possible
in Starkville.
But again, I mean, if the game's tight and you need somebody, you've got to go with them, and then you worry about that
sure.
when the time comes.
I think a one or two inning approach, though, because you have so many different options in the bullpen, especially if it's like the first game on Saturday, right? Like it feels like being able to limit Jackson to an inning or two while also checking off a lot of those goals would be doable. Although, like you said, if one of the two starters tomorrow were to have a short outing, that could also impact.
Then they could probably turn around and go next Thursday. But yeah, we will see. I mean, look, obviously Butch Thompson and Everett Tiefert and Auburn want their starters to go out and get them as deep as they can and come out of here with a series win. So it'll be really important. It's number 6 Auburn, number 7 Texas A&M. And that'll be tomorrow, 12:45 will be the airtime, 1 o'clock first pitch on Wings 94.3.
Really curious to see if Guevara and Bingaman can keep swinging the same bats they were swinging this past weekend too, right? I mean, it's
Guevara's been doing it. I mean, he's been doing it throughout the conference schedule.
Oh, he's hitting .400 in SEC play, right? I mean, we're talking about the thought that you could – the thought with 9 games left in SEC play in a 30-game season, you could be talking about a guy with a genuine shot to keep the average in the ballpark of .400 with power,
right,
is really impressive.
He leads the team in homers now.
And then Ethan Bingaman is just having this remarkable freshman year and is, you know, just getting better by the series. Can't wait to see, like, I mean, again, the thought this guy's got a couple more years of college baseball that he's got to play as a
right.
as a true
before
freshman.
He's eligible to be drafted. Yeah, Auburn's got a few of those guys. That's what's really exciting about the future. But, hey, the future's now. Yep. When you've got a pitching staff like this and the depth in the lineup that they do, I mean, Auburn's got as good a shot as anybody of not just going deep. All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number two. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Friday Drive.
With Bill 382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive with Bill and Dan. Let's get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar and Slack. Is up next. Hey, Slack.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Man, we're doing fine.
Good. I think the last few days I've heard some people talking about the football playoff expansion. What do y'all guys think about that?
I think it's coming. I mean, the question is it going to be 16, which is what the SEC wants? Or is it going to be 24, which is what the Big Ten wants?
And there's, like, economic factors at play, too, the, you know, ESPN and Fox feuding over sort of what the size should be. I mean, I'm I don't know, Slack. What do you think the right system is?
Honestly, I like the higher number. And the reason why I like the higher number is What meaning does with NIL right now? How does a team like, just say Auburn? How does a team like Auburn benefit from going to the Independence Bowl or going to a meaningless bowl game?
Well,
I mean, really,
so many of the players right don't now, care about playing in those games at all.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. So really, my honest opinion is, I would like to see the highest numbers possible because think about it. Okay, if and I think we're going to be good enough to make it to the playoff this year. So if Auburn just say makes it to the football playoffs and it's 16 teams, so that means Auburn more than likely has an opportunity to host for a first round ball game, right?
Well, I don't know. If you just make it, if you're number 16, you wouldn't.
I mean, I'm not saying that we're going to be the 16th team, just saying if we make it to the bowl playoff, we get an opportunity to get an extra home ball game.
You could, yeah.
A lot of teams which is great. Yes.
I mean, would you rather have that extra home ball?
Oh, no question.
Ball game,
or be playing in a bowl game that the fans nor the players don't care about? No doubt.
And with NIL, like I said right now, it's beneficial for the football team now to have that extra ball game, possibly playing at home.
Oh, it's definitely it's a lot more revenue,
and it's a little bit different. Like we were just I was upset about the decision to expand the NCAA basketball tournament because I don't think you're putting in eight more teams from the bubble doesn't seem like you're putting in teams that have really any chance of you know, and teams that had the opportunity to show they belonged in and played their way out of it and you know, question how much stronger you've made the tournament. I think you can make an argument in football, right? But if you're only taking 12 or 14 and there are some conditions that you have to meet, you're leaving out some pretty good teams. Like an expansion to 16 or even 24, depending on how you do it. I'm not as worried about watering down the product and making and undeserving teams getting in at 16 or 24 as I am in basketball with the 76 number
being
tossed around.
Does the NBA care if half of the teams in the field are competitive or not? Does the NCAA tournament want all the games to be competitive? No. Major League Baseball could care.
I'm sure the NCAA tournament would like for all the games to be competitive.
They'd like for them to be, but that's not that. You know, that's not the reason for it being as large a field as it is. But in professional sports, it doesn't matter. You see blowouts. I mean, you see, goodness. I mean, 50. It was a we had a 50-point first half lead last night.
The less said, the better about the Hawks.
Yeah, no kidding.
That wasn't even last three.
And that goes to show you too, the home field advantage really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, when half the people at the game are Knicks fans too, right? I mean, it also makes it a little bit tougher to get that going. No, but Slack, I think your point about the benefit of hosting a game as opposed to playing in a bowl game and how many teams would find that attractive too, I think that's a good one,
right.
and that's you know, probably an argument to go to a number like 24 or 32 because if it's all the same. To some of those teams at the lower end of the draw, I'm sure they'd much rather host a playoff game as opposed to going to a bowl game.
Although I wonder about some of those teams at the bottom of the 24, if they'd rather be playing in a bowl game than going to, you know, to Jordan-Hare Stadium or something.
Well, I guess you got to look at the good and the bad. And at the same time, you know, all the people are upset because we got to go to Atlanta the first bowl game. So if we make it to the playoffs and we host in a bowl game at the end of the year.
Right.
Maybe that'll compensate. I'm pretty sure it'll compensate the city of Auburn.
Oh, no doubt about that.
I do think, Slack, on that front, too, like as great as it would be to host the Baylor game opening day, like at Auburn, the fact that you follow that up with, is it three straight home games?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, the fact that you've got three straight home games, including Florida, for the first time in 15 years. Right after that, I do think that the schedule sort of compensated for that neutral site game by, you know, if you open the year with four straight home games, you wonder if maybe the game in the middle, the home opener, the second game gets lost in the shuffle, maybe even the Vanderbilt game, the fourth week. I think they've done a good job trying to absorb that Baylor game going to Atlanta with some big home early games on the schedule.
I mean, even nowadays with me talking about bowl games, how is it beneficial to even go to a lower school to a bowl game anymore?
The only way it's beneficial is if you're a program that has really struggled to have any kind of postseason at all, and you're trying to build sort of like, it's not even like, I mean, Auburn basketball have been so successful, but I think the NIT was still worthwhile this year. But it's a situation where it needs to be something that your fan base feels good about. You know, there needs to be some excitement, and there's generally not a lot of excitement from a program that expects to be competitive by making a what appears to be a meaningless bowl game.
Do you think the NCAA as well would look at trying to let more college teams host bowl games as well?
I wonder.
Why are we playing so many bowl games in NFL venues?
Oh, you're playing them wherever you can. ESPN is the one that's it's all about ad revenue and commercial space that all these bowl games are being played.
I will be honest, like I don't know very much about the process of deciding the location for a bowl. Yeah, the hosting of that, and I don't know if there's any kind of push within the industry to move the bowl games
on campus
away from cities and away from NFL venues and play them on campus.
Yeah, if we're gonna complain about NIL, let colleges host them.
I just wonder. I wonder how much excitement there would be when you're not when all you're playing for is that game. There's really nothing else, to be gained except for winning whatever that game is. When you've got a chance, when you're in a postseason playoff, you've got a chance. You may not have much of a chance at all, but there's still a chance that if you win, you could still do something big.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. All right, guys. Appreciate that.
Yeah, great stuff, Slack. Yeah, I think there'd be real excitement over hosting the playoff games. Hosting the bowl games.
I think it'd be great. It'd be fantastic.
A little bit more muted, I think, as far as the
much more
the excitement for hosting a bowl game, especially in an expanded playoff era.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, when you've got certain schools that are hosting playoff games and you're hosting a bowl game, I don't know that that's going to do a lot for the fan base. But really great stuff there, Slack. Some really good points. And I don't think, even though the expansion is coming, it's not going to be this year. I mean, it would be
the playoff,
voted on for, you know, after the 27th
season. Have they locked in the 14-team playoff? I could have sworn.
You mean the 12?
The 12, yeah. Have they locked in the 12 for? I could have sworn that they were.
That still could change. I thought it was pretty well set. Maybe I'm wrong there.
We'll check that during the break.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and get to our bottom of the hour break because we're coming right up on 5:30. Got a half an hour to go. Plenty of time for you to join us here on the Friday edition of The Drive.
Awesome, if you know bowl games and stuff like that. How many bowl games do we have? Roughly like 40?
40 around
a million.
Upper 30s. It's 37, 38, something like that.
Okay, so if we expanded to 24. Some of those would probably, I don't know, go bankrupt.
It's going to take a half dozen of them. I mean, a half dozen of them are there. Look, they're having trouble filling them right now. That'd be six more bowl games that you'd have to try to find teams to fill that were now moving into the playoffs.
Right, right. Okay. Well, last thing before I let you guys go, I want to give a shout out to my nephew Enrique, who's graduating from Auburn University tomorrow.
Hey!
Cool. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Enrique.
And it's also his 23rd birthday.
Hey!
Big day.
That's big time weekend. Great stuff.
Yeah, right. Thanks, guys. War Eagle.
Appreciate it, Mitch. Have a good weekend. 334-321-1390. And Philly Fanatic is up next. Hey, man,
hey,
how's it going?
I'm doing well. I talked to my friends that go to Philly's games, and they were thinking that this coach was toast before even the year started. They were looking for a reason to fire him because the last three or four years, they finished near the top of the division with one of the best records in baseball, and they didn't make it out of the first playoff round. And that's really upsetting when you're that good and then you just can't do anything when the playoffs come.
Yeah, I mean, Rob Thompson has been around for a while, but you're right. He wasn't able to get it done in the postseason. Donnie, baseball's off to a pretty good start.
Yep. So, he was such a great player. I'm not sure how good a manager was, but so far, I think they're just excited to have somebody new.
A lot of times, just some fresh blood can sort of revitalize, and that needs to, because this is not a young Phillies team.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'll tell you, the Phillies, Philadelphia is such a great sports town. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow in Philly. Phillies game at 4:10, Derby at 6:57. These are all Eastern. Sixers game 7 at 7:30, and Flyers game 1 at 8. I mean, that's some lineup. Not a lot of cities can have
that. Yeah, that's
that
a pretty full afternoon and evening there.
Yeah. So getting to the Triple Crown, I went one time when I was at college. Ooh. We were at Delaware, and we drove to Baltimore for the Preakness State. Mm-hmm. And we brought a pickup truck with a keg in it, and they let us right on the infield, right? And
yeah, those
so we were
days.
Drinking. I think there's maybe 10 races. I don't know how many races. A bunch of races. Anyway, so they have.
I think they race until the keg runs out, right? I think those are the rules. Yeah,
maybe. I don't remember. It might have. But anyway, so in the middle, they are playing a lot of lacrosse, which is really big there. And some of us were drinking so much, we grabbed the stick and started running around. And I didn't even know how to play. I mean, it was like, okay, you know, let's just have a good old time whack each other, you know. So when it finally, the final Preakness race came, you can get maybe, since you're inside, you can get maybe 10 feet from the rail. All you see is that one, possibly 1.5 seconds for that horse running past you. And that's all you see. Because that's, you know, it's just going so fast and there's so much noise from the horse's hoofs and the mud flying all over the place. Wow. We had a great time anyway. So, you were talking about the Auburn getting a player from Lithuania.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, what's that about?
That's the final piece.
Talking about Montas?
Yeah, that's the final piece that Stephen Pearl's looking for. He's a 6'5", two guard who's about to turn 24, and that may be the problem because the NCAA's new 5-for-5 rule Your five-year clock starts either when you graduate high school or you turn 19. So that means when you're 24, you're out of eligibility unless you were already in school turn 24 or before the rule goes into effect, and it looks like it's going to go into effect June 1st.
Yeah, Montes Rubsta Vistus, I think is how you say it. I've been working on my.
I think it's Rubsta Vistus.
I've been working on my Lithuanian a little bit, but he's a pro in Europe. That's bounced around different teams. He's talked about as a guy who could come to college basketball, but has never actually made the jump. And as Bill said, the age limit could be could be working against Auburn. Dwayne Aristode was mentioned as another target for Auburn, a former five-star, played for Arizona this past year. He announced right after we finished the show yesterday that he's going to Oregon. So he's off the board, and Dane Altman reloads. So one of the rumored targets at the three for Auburn is no longer available, and there's questions about the availability of another one with the age limit possibly limiting Montes's ability to come play college basketball.
A 6'5 shooting guard is something that they always need, especially if he's a swing man and go 2-3. Because what do they have? They have three guards coming back?
You got two guards that are, I mean, Tahad and Overton are going to play a lot of the minutes. I know you got Simon Walker coming back, played a little bit too.
See where Simon Walker said he wants to be Stephen Pearl's first four-year guy.
That's right. Mishalik is coming back as well. But no, I think they feel like they need a three. I mean, you've got Adam Olsen can play some of those minutes. Thomas Dowd can play some of those minutes.
Right.
But they want that 3-and-D presence on the team.
And they added a transfer from Vandy who was injured this past year. And he's a guy that's a combo guard and a 1-2. Montes is a guy that, he was projected as a point guard a few years ago, so he's a pretty good ball handler, obviously. But but he's known more for his shooting ability, scoring ability there on the wing.
Did I read someplace that they brought in five guys that are 6'8" or more?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah, 2 6'8", a 6'10", and 2 7-footers.
So they went probably from the smallest team in the SEC to probably the tallest.
Florida's still going to be pretty tall, but Auburn will be one of the tallest teams in the league.
So we're going to see a whole different way they play, because last year they were undersized.
No, you're right. And Stephen wanted some guys that were conducive to Tahad being able to shoot or lob to those guys.
Yeah. Well, they should be having a lot of lobs with guys that tall. Should be Dunk City.
Hopefully so.
And the other thing is they never really had somebody that could protect the rim and get blocked shots.
No, you're right. You're right.
That really hurt them, because they had guys driving on them and hitting layups. I mean, you can't do much.
Yeah, get that stuff out of there.
By playing like that. All right, well, it's good talking to you, and we'll see how the Sixers and Flyers do. I think the Sixers are playing Boston.
Yes.
I think that's the final. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure who the Flyers are opening up with.
I think the Flyers have Carolina in the next round.
Yeah, I haven't seen a good hockey game in a long time. I used to go over in Columbus and watch the Cottonmouths, and it was full of guys from Benning that wanted, all they were wanting for is to drink and have fights.
That's right.
And there was a lot of that going on.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun to watch, too.
But it is, NBC's going from the Kentucky Derby to Game 7 Philly and Boston tomorrow night.
Right.
That's the Saturday night game on NBC.
The problem with the Sixers is they never really had a good bench, but we'll see. I think it's at home, right?
So it's in Boston.
Boston. Okay. All right. Take care and see how the baseball team does tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Have a good weekend. Appreciate the call, Fanatic.
Same to you. Bye-bye.
All right. We're coming up on our final break of the day. Yes, again, as he mentioned, Auburn baseball will be tomorrow, in case you hadn't heard that. I mean, it was postponed earlier today because of all the rain. Apparently, there has been a lot of rain out in the College Station area, and the field just not playable for today. Hopefully, it's better for tomorrow. Doubleheader starting at 1 o'clock.
And we've got some rain blowing into the Auburn Opelika area in the next couple of hours. So hopefully, hopefully nobody's plans impacted too seriously by that over the next 24 hours or so could be a little bit chilly and a little bit wet. Man, here in the Auburn-Opelika area.
Really, I mean, wet isn't that unusual, but chilly is for this time of year. So yeah, just be ready for that for this Friday night. We'll be back for our final segment, so stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
War Eagle, this is Coach Larry
with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Final segment of the Friday Drive, Bill and Dan here as we head into the weekend. Anything special on tap for the weekend?
No, a lot of sports watching this weekend. I mean, it should be like Philly Fanatic was saying. I mean, with the NBA playoffs, some high stakes games tonight, tomorrow, Kentucky Derby, Auburn baseball with A&M, a lot of other SEC baseball action too. We're gearing up for. I mean, we don't have football, college basketball, but a lot of really interesting stuff going on in the world of sports and. It should be. I mean, if the weather was nice, you know, you may work in some exploring. But if it's going to be cold and rainy, that's an excuse to find yourself
to stay in and
yeah. That's if you're looking for a reason to catch up on your screen time. This is the golden opportunity because you know the Kentucky Derby, Bill. I don't know how much of it you're going to actually watch tomorrow.
I try a lot of the times at this time of year. I would be outside. I told a couple of people that I saw today that the plan was a week or so ago, got everything finally done, cleared out, cleaned up, whatever. It was going to be get all the furniture out and hang out around the pool this weekend. Don't think that's going to be the case.
No.
You got
plans, though, don't you?
Yeah, we're going to see the boss tomorrow night. But I mean, I could still be out by the pool tomorrow.
You can all do a little pool
Sunday,
time. Yeah.
But no, not going to do that now. Yeah, we've got Springsteen in Atlanta tomorrow night. But considering the water temp is below 70, and I don't know how much sunshine we're going to get, and temperatures aren't going to hit 70. No, not going to be doing that. So yeah, it's a good opportunity to be catching up on a lot of sports,
and
a lot of things inside.
You've never seen Springsteen before, right?
No,
I'm told that's one of the great shows in rock and roll.
Yeah, you know, I'm probably gonna miss it seeing the Derby tomorrow because we'll be on the road.
You can catch a little bit maybe on the phone. You can YouTube.
Well, no,
YouTube,
I mean, I'll be
TV.
Able, it. I'll be able. Yeah, I'll be driving. So I mean. I don't know how much I'll be watching on my phone while I'm on 85. I wonder about some people doing that, but no, you know what happens a lot of the time.
Well, you just get the play-by-play guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he'll tell you what's going on.
I mean, down the stretch here, yeah, down the stretch they come. I am very impressed by horse race.
Oh yeah,
play-by-play. I mean, because they'll give you every single one and where they are. You know. And you've got to know those colors, and you got to know exactly where it is. But no, what I was going to say is, what happens a lot of the times, I want to watch, but I'll end up being outside, maybe around the pool or something like that, and I look up, and it's like, oh crap, I missed it.
You forget it, yeah. But yeah. It's for
especially when it's in the first few weeks of daylight savings time, because it doesn't feel like it's that late. Yeah. And you look up and you go, oh, it's 6 o'clock. Oh crap!
Tuning in right before the race starts is always a great feeling, knowing you made it just in time for the actual race.
Coming, yeah.
You don't need the 5 hours.
Yes.
You don't need the 5 hours of NBC preamble.
Sure,
you know, advertising everything that's coming up on Peacock in the next couple of months. But no, the race itself, yeah. So Kentucky Derby tomorrow should be that should be a lot of fun too.
Oh yeah, yeah. And again, I don't have any huge, favorites or anything like that. I haven't really paid attention. I just want to watch and see. And then you want to see, is the winner going to be able to then try to go for two in the Preakness?
Update folks on the Auburn baseball schedule again too, because I know we've had to move some things around. No Auburn baseball tonight. On Wings 94.3.
No, a lot of rain out there in the College Station area, so a doubleheader tomorrow starting at 1 o'clock. And it should be, I would imagine Andres Alvarez gets the start in game one, Jake Marciano in game two. And as we said, this is going to be really interesting because this is going to have an impact. I don't know how many teams play Thursday through Saturday next week, but Auburn, Mississippi State do. So Auburn will have a very short time to get pitchers ready because Butch Thompson, Everett Tiefert like to they like their pitchers to stay on as steady a schedule as possible. Try to keep the same amount of rest. They'd like it to be, you know, 1 week. If you pitch on Friday, you pitch the next Friday and then Saturday and Sunday and so forth. But I mean, when you're going to start your series on a Saturday and next week you start your series on Thursday, something's got to give. You're going to have somebody that has to go on short rest. I really think that I know that Butch Thompson detests the thought of starting someone Saturday, having them go deep, and then coming back with them on the following Thursday. So I mean, can they save Jackson Sanders? Is there, you know, do you have options? Do you have to go with a bullpen game next week? Yeah. Again, you surely can't just sort of punt this weekend and go, let's get ready for next week, because this is a top 10 matchup with a chance to really put yourself in much better position to be a top 8 national seed if you can win the series.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. It would be shocking if Butch Thompson started a guy on Thursday who went really deep into the game tomorrow. Like,
I mean,
still,
not to say it won't happen, right, but I know he really doesn't want to do that.
And you would think that if starters go pretty deep into the games tomorrow, Jackson Sanders is an obvious option on Thursday.
Then if that happens tomorrow, if both starters go deep and you don't need Jackson Sanders tomorrow, then you try to avoid using Jackson Sanders on Sunday and hope Alec Petrovic can get you deep, and then you can get by with the other guys who've been stepping up, the L.J. Cormiers, the Marcel Kulik, the...
It's a Sanders-led bullpen game on Thursday, right? I mean, you're not asking Sanders to do. I mean, even if he's asked to do a little bit of work this weekend, you could ask him to do a little bit of work Thursday, just with the understanding that he wouldn't
Sort of make it like a bullpen this weekend for Jackson, and then have him come back and hope that he can give you four or five.
Yeah, I mean, I think that but you're right. I mean, knowing now that they have two games tomorrow and a game Sunday, a midweek game too, right?
Yeah,
and then
UAB
on the road, and then. I mean, like 7 road games in 9 days. Yes. Do I have that right?
That's right.
Wow. I mean, so that's going to be a gauntlet for this team, and
that is really tough.
And against quality opponents too. You know, the next 7 days. So
7 road games in 8 days.
8 days. That's right. You're right.
8 days. Saturday through Saturday.
Wow.
Yes, that's. That is quite the challenge, and Auburn is fortunate that they have the pitching depth that they do. They really do. I mean, hitters I don't worry as much about. I mean, they're ready to get out there and hit. As a matter of fact, they probably wish they could have been hitting some this past week the way the bats have been swinging. So that'll get started tomorrow. Again, 12:45 airtime on Wings 94.3. So a busy weekend. I mean – again,
we mentioned with Justin Lee, Auburn women's tennis.
Right. If you're here locally, you can check that out at Yarborough tomorrow, 1:00. Auburn in Miami.
1:00 should be a lot of fun as Auburn tries to punch their ticket to the to the Sweet 16
which
tennis.
Which they would host.
And again, congratulations to everyone graduating this weekend. Welcome to the welcome to the club. Right.
Oh yeah, that's right. All right, that's going to wrap things up for the Friday Drive. Brian Matthews. Back in with us on Monday as we'll recap the busy weekend and much more. And, of course, he'll have his Monday musings. But that's going to do it for the Friday edition of The Drive. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here.